from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Here we go. Sorry about the delay, but things happen. And Mercury is in retrograde, but let's not blame that. We still haven't gotten the shows up from yesterday. A little technical snafus going on of uploading the shows. And
hey, dude, what's going on? Did you see a big bird?
My golden doodle just came in from outside with her little doggy door, and she always comes up right at showtime. Okay, sweetie, ready to go? Well, anyway, we'll have those shows up after today's show, and we'll repair what was going on. You know, in the next hour, we've done so many of these shows over many, many years on the radio thing. Gentleman who body just cured himself of colon cancer. He had one of those big ones, like stage 4-1, you know, they give you numbers. I don't know where those numbers come from. Oh, you have stage whatever, colon cancer. And said, you know, go home, get your affairs in order, the same story. And he said, no, thank you, and he's fine. And so we're going to talk to him next hour, he or him, he, him. And that should be cool. So first up, I'd like to just invite you to be on the show if you care to. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. On the line in Tucson, Arizona, where it's probably 120. We're only going to be 95 here today. We're having a cool wave that came in. Dr. Jane Orient, just like it sounds, O-R-I-E-N-T-D. She's an M.D., undergraduate chemistry, math, University of Arizona, Tucson, where she is now. MD from Columbia University of Physicians and Surgeons in 74, internal medicine, Parkland Memorial Hospital and University of Arizona. Been in private practice since 81. She served as executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, wow, AAPS, since 89. She's currently president of Doctors for Disease Preparedness since 1988. She's been chairman of the Public Health Committee of the Pima County, Arizona Medical Society. She is author of Your Doctor Is Not a Healthy Skepticism in National Healthcare. Is not in healthy. Let me see if I can read that. Sorry. Your Doctor Is Not in Healthy Skepticism About National Healthcare. And she's out there talking about the healthcare thing. And boy, it comes up so often here, even though we do natural medicine, and we really don't kind of steer folks to doctors unless they really have to. Sorry, doc. Are you offended, Dr. Orient, that I don't steer folks to doctors only at last resort? Does that offend you at all?
Oh, not at all. One of the patients I'd liked the best was a 90-some-year-old woman who came to me occasionally to have her earwax removed. And I asked her, well, what's the secret? You know, you're 90-something and you're all healthy. And she said, well, I stay away from doctors. That's probably good advice.
Well, but, gosh, it's so interesting you could say that after all this time in your profession. Before we, you know, kind of dig in, overall, is it just so folks who don't understand what you just said, is it the docs are just not taught about healing or the body well enough or nutrition? Or what are your take on that before we dig into your work here?
Well, I think there is a big misconception these days that the term healthcare has been introduced, which really is very confused with insurance or with something that's really not insurance that pretends to be, but it's prepayment for all types of things, your health care is really your responsibility and it doesn't need to cost anything. You can't come to my office and get a shot of health or a health pill. I mean, you could listen to your grandmother, you know, eat your vegetables, get your fresh air, and you know, don't smoke and all of that. And I can't do that for you. No doctor can do that for you. But I can charge you a bill, you know, to scold you if you want to come in and see me about it. You know, you go to medical school to learn how to diagnose and treat illness.
And how are you taught to treat these illnesses?
Well, first you need to diagnose it, try to figure out what's going on. And then you need to learn about the patient and learn about what the options are for helping him to heal.
And most often those options include pharmaceutical medicines?
Unfortunately, the current medical climate puts a heavy emphasis on pharmaceuticals, that and surgery. I mean, we've had really many wonderful advances in imaging and, you know, diagnostic procedures, and in much less invasive surgery than we used to have. And I think we would be very, very worse, much worse off if we didn't have those. But I fear that really we're very much over-medicated, and a lot of people are sicker from their medicines than they would be without them.
Doctor, the number of deaths just for legal prescriptions every year is astounding. I haven't Googled it lately, but it's a lot, isn't it? A couple hundred thousand?
Well, it's kind of hard to be sure. Yeah. We don't have very good aftermarket surveillance on a lot of drugs, and it's always confusing because how do you know whether the patient died from the drug or died despite the drug? I mean, after all, we really shouldn't give people drugs unless they're sick. But where there's more and more inclination to try to get everybody on some type of drug because they've got pre-something or other, pre-diabetes, pre-hypertension, pre-heart disease.
We've actually had people on the show that suggested that, everybody, this is such a good drug, this statin, that everybody should just be on them even though their cholesterol isn't a certain number. It's pretty
well, amazing. The cholesterol is an absolutely essential part of your body, especially of your central nervous system and of your cell membranes. And if you block the path to synthesizing cholesterol like statin drugs do, you're also blocking everything downstream from that, which includes all your steroid hormones.
And we've learned over the years that they get this cholesterol doctor orient down to 120 or 30 like they're doing now, and you can't even make testosterone. I mean, No,
you can't, and you may not even be able to make cortisol. And there are a lot of people suffering things that they're being attributing to old age, like muscle pain and weakness. And it's not just symptomatic, not just a nuisance, but it may actually be destroying your muscle tissue.
Can you help us understand? I mean, here you are, Doc, a long time, right? How long have you been an MD?
Oh, since 1974.
74. Co-executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. So can you explain to us really, most of us in the natural world listening today, how is this even possible that this kind of paradigm is going on when it's so, dysfunctional? I mean, it's just not working.
Well, I think you need to follow the money, and not just in academia, the research grants and so on that the medical schools are dependent upon, but also in the popular media. I think the pharmaceutical advertising is an extremely important part of revenue for the mainstream media, and so they will not even allow a show that dares to suggest that something like vaccines, for example, or statin drugs might have side effects.
So that's the main thing. The input of the pharmaceuticals in the media is a huge part of it. What kind of relationship does Big Pharma have with the FDA and the AMA?
Well, I think it's a very incestuous one, to use the term. I think that there's regulatory capture going on with the FDA, and I think the AMA makes a huge amount of money from pharmaceutical advertising, or from you know, so many of the articles published in the journal are, if not actually funded by the pharmaceutical companies, the authors have conflicts of interest. I mean, they can't even list them all in the journal. You have to go online to find the list of all the conflicts of interest that the authors have.
Oh, so even a report that may show up in, what's some of your big ones? JAMA, Journal of America?
JAMA, the New England Journal of Medicine.
All those.
Yeah.
There's always, so much. often you use the word that you prefer of conflict of interest in the people that do the studies or do the reports and the peer reviews and all that.
Right. You know, a lot of them, they have huge speakers' fees. They get consultants' fees. If they don't get actual research funding, they would be significantly harmed financially if they were to have a negative view of the drugs.
Dr. Orient, Jane Orient is with us, and if you care to join us, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. You use the term regulatory capture. What does that mean?
It means that there's sort of a revolving door between the administrative agencies that's supposed to oversee an industry and the industry, so that if somebody may work at the FDA and then get a job, or at the FDA or the CDC and then get a job with Merck or some other big pharmaceutical company, and then people will be tapped from the industry to go to work in the regulatory agency. Mm-hmm. After all, they have the expertise.
Yeah. Similar, I would suspect, to in the finance, that we do a show once a week, the head of the New York Federal Reserve, you know, we know who the Geithners and Paulsons, they end up a Treasury Secretary, that kind of thing. It's the same kind of swampy system.
Well, it is, and it's we really can't rely on the government to protect us. I think really maybe it has some role, but ultimately you need a free market, you need competition, you need the ability to speak out and to publicize alternate views.
Yeah. You write that the swamp in Washington, D.C. and its crony capitalist retainers do not want to lose their grip on the trillions of dollars that slosh through the healthcare sector, approaching one-fifth of the U.S. economy. Yeah, it's huge. So our U.S. economy, I think, is what, $17 trillion? Is it about a fifth of that?
Something like that. Anyway, $3 trillion, it's such an amount of money that it's really infinite. And so there are just so many interests that have just a little inroad there, and they just skim money off the top. And who knows how much of it trickles down into the people who actually provide any goods or services that treat a patient. I mean, before we get to the unnecessary drugs or the unnecessary surgeries, there's a huge amount skimmed off the top by parasites who wouldn't have a job if it were not for a government regulation or for some other conflict that gets them a piece of the pie, you know, for compliance or for underwriting for the insurance company or for sales or for something else, like collecting data that back in the old days wasn't done. And you have to ask, well, does it really need to be done? And I think often no.
Okay, so let's take a quick little break here, just a couple minutes, Doc, and then we're going to dig in. And we'd like to understand if you'll talk to us like we're a young child, or a golden retriever, as we like to say around here, and to explain to us how this system is set up today and what the effect Obamacare has had. And we're going to dig in, so stay right there. Dr. Richard Ulrey, authority on minerals, talks about gut bacteria, making the vitamins, and absorbing the minerals, how it all works.
We need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals, and then minerals provide a resonant frequency. And those minerals carry these frequencies into the body, and multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure. This is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. When you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, Well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals.
Here's an idea of a couple of the living streams you can take for what we're talking about here. The Bifido, Living Streams Multi-Blend, and the Living Minerals. So you get in the minerals, the Bifido, and the lactobacillus. And these special probiotics and minerals are all in human DNA form, and they are living alive. In our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. There's quite a bit of conjecture, and it's only conjecture at this point, as we don't do medical advice or diagnose or anything, but that the C60, this new molecule that, well, it's been around for about 30 years, I think Tesla's protege was involved, the fellow bringing this in, that we know that it will get rid of different cells that have an electron stolen from different chemicals and stuff like that, possibly glyphosates. And then this C60 will go in there and get rid of that particular molecule that had its electron stolen and exit its stage left out of the body. That's why it's such an exciting discovery that's really come out in the last 6 months. We have a couple C60s, one from Wayne, this company, Living Streams. It's called The Perfect Molecule, and it's in our store. And there's evidence with some studies with animals that it protects the rats. It certainly extended their lives, but it also protected them from radiation. And these are a bunch of docs out of in France. Now, I have not done my due diligence, and I don't know if the people that did these studies are connected to any kind of C60 product. There was some years ago before this even came out, but it could. So once again, you know, just everything is just a hit and miss in the world, even the natural world. But I think you'll like it. I know there's something going on with this product. Why don't you try it? You know, digestion, as you know, is a key thing. And our good friends at Sir Thrival, Daniel Vitalis, they have a new product, and it's called Digestive Bitters. And Digestive Bitters have been used traditionally in Europe for a long time to just kind of take before the meal. And it works in a little bit different way than the traditional digestive enzymes, where you get the amylase and protease and stuff like that, which is cool. It helps, especially if you're eating a lot of cooked food. But this is more a bitter type of herb formula, as I say. This is very big in Europe. Not that that makes it better, just because it's Europe. It's grass is always greener. But it has dandelion root, gentian, which is a classic kind of bitter, Oregon grape root, fennel, yellow dock, ginger, blue flag. This works in the bile and the liver, gallbladder thing, and helps everything work down there and get things down in the small intestine in fine form. So it's pretty cool, and it's a nice way to help digestion. And as you know, once we figure out how to digest our food and eliminate, that's probably 90% of the game. And then the rest, you probably live to 100 just get your nutrients and poop 3 times a day, and you're probably good. But so that's the new Digestive Bitters on Sir Thrival at OneRadioNetwork.com. Okay, it is the last day of July. We're with Dr. Jane Orient, and she's Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and she's not too thrilled about the swamp care that's going on today, standard called health care. So can you give us a big picture of how insurance, is it even possible to give us big picture with all the private and the Obama thing and Medicare out there to explain how this thing all works?
I think there are some really key concepts here.
Okay.
And one is the effect of government. As I learned from my 7th grade math teacher, if you take their money, they'll tell you how wide to make the door. He was talking about federal aid to education, but really they'll tell you everything that you have to do. So if you're taking government money, the federal regulations are inevitable, and they will accompany that. And similarly, with insurance companies, you know, it used to be, and still is with types of casualty insurance, that you buy insurance to protect you against unanticipated financial loss. Uh-huh. And if your house burns down or you get in a car wreck or something, the insurance company is supposed to pay you an indemnity according to the contract. Mm-hmm. Health insurance maybe started out that way, that you got an indemnity if certain things happened to you. But then it evolved into third-party payment, in which the insurance company was paying the doctor or the hospital directly, and then the patient was completely left out of the equation. And again, the person that writes the checks decide what it will pay for, which ultimately determines what you can have and what you can't have. After all, it's become so much more expensive that you don't have any money left over, maybe, to buy a form of treatment or care that would be better for you than the things that the insurance company decides to cover.
So let's go back maybe 50 years, when I was a kid. I think the only thing I can recall is people, I think they had Blue Cross, some people had Blue Cross or Blue Shield. Remember, that was kind of like the big one, right, back then?
Yeah, I think so. And yeah. it's really started out to help the hospitals get paid.
Help the hospitals
during
get
the great,
paid.
The great, so to get the Great Depression. And then the doctor decided they wanted to hoard into it too, and they wanted to get paid by the big insurance company. It really was kind of nice to start with. I mean, if somebody, it looks like somebody else is paying the bill, then the patient doesn't care how high the bill is, and the doctor has not too much incentive to economize. And so prices kept going up and up, up and up, and people didn't realize the cause of that was the insurance company.
I see.
You know, the premium went up. The insurance company has no incentive whatsoever to keep the price down because they can just raise the premiums.
So somebody had Blue Cross or Blue Shield or whatever 50 years ago, and I don't know, say they went in and I don't even know, did they do bypass surgeries back then? I don't even know if they did that yet.
No, they made you stay in bed for months.
Oh, I see.
But back then the bill for my appendectomy,
yeah,
was $150. That was the hospital bill.
Okay.
The bill for my delivery was $75, and I think my mother stayed in the hospital for 10 days after a perfectly normal delivery. They sent moms home in an ambulance. You know, they took good care. You know, they needed rest after this delivery. Now it's kind of like drive-by deliveries.
Sure.
But people rarely use their insurance because it was for catastrophes.
Oh, so even then, if you have Blue Cross or Blue Shield, then maybe you're paying $25 a month back then. Of course, the dollar is so different. Of course, it's value, but so these numbers are a little skewed, of course, inflation.
Well, to keep it in perspective, yeah, my mother kept all the payroll records from my dad's business, and the bill for my appendectomy was 10 days pay for a common laborer. So it really was affordable for regular people. You may have to get a payment plan and so on, but still, but when a friend of mine had his appendix out maybe 20 years ago, it was $3,000 mm-hmm. for the same thing.
And it all started, you were saying, Dr. Orient, because they figured out that, well, nobody's really paying attention here, and we can just charge more. The docs and the hospitals will get more, and Blue Cross can raise premiums. And that's how it started?
Yeah, I think that's how it started. That there is a regulatory mechanism in the marketplace for prices, and that's competition. And it's people spending their own money. I mean, it's just a fact of human nature that you are much more frugal with your own money,
yeah,
than you are with other people's money.
Did they have?
And so, go ahead. And just perverse incentives are built in throughout the system, and this with this huge flood of money running through it, and there's just all kinds of incentives to kind of, you know, get your little spigot in there to drain off some of the money. I mean, after all, $3 trillion, who's going to notice, you know, a billion or so that you,
sure,
that you you divert?
Yeah. $3 trillion, by the way, just in case you have a whiteboard, is $3,000 billion. $3,000 billion.
Yeah, and people say, well, oh, we'll just get the government to do this, and we'll just raise taxes. We'll just tax the wealthy. But, you know, $3,000 billion, there are not enough billionaires in the whole world to begin to pay that.
Oh, I
mean,
if
you took everything they have, which you could do only once, it wouldn't make a dent.
It's amazing what's going on today. There's this lady out there who won up in New York, I don't know her name, some far lefty.
Ocasio Cortez.
Yeah, Cortez, right. So I saw a little clip of her on a late night TV show, and she's arguing that Well, we can just take care of everybody and pay everybody. Just total 100% health care. They do it all over Europe. It's no problem. They've done the research, and it's not going to be a problem. And all they got to do is raise the taxes on the rich and raise the corporate rate to 28%, and it'll be done. It'll be $10 trillion in 10 years. And I study this stuff, the money and how it works, Doc. That is so not even close to being true. Not even close.
No, it is just, it's absurd. Are absurd. And, you know, these European welfare states, they are on the verge of bankruptcy.
Are they?
Maybe they are bankrupt and they're just, you know, kind of kicking the ball down the road. And they, all of them, except Canada, the European systems, all have a parallel private system. They do have private hospitals. They do have private insurance that you can escape from this. Single payer in Canada, their escape hatch is the United States, because they no matter how they keep pumping more and more money in the system, it's never enough. It's never enough. The hospitals have outdated, dangerous equipment. You can't get an appointment with a primary doctor. You can't get to a specialist without a referral from a primary doctor. And you know, people are dying on the waiting list. And in Britain, 6% of the whole population is on a National Health Service waiting list for something. Can't get into the emergency room in the ambulance. If you do get in there, they may treat you in the hall, in the corridors. They have this Liverpool care pathway, which really means is the Liverpool starve them to death pathway. And it's just really appalling.
So when did the government get involved? So say we are in the 50s or 60s and we had some Blue Cross and Blue Shield and some other private things out there. When did Medicare start? Do you know?
Medicare started in 1965.
65.
And immediately hospital bills doubled or trebled practically overnight.
Really? How cool. So what was the thing there? The migration from 60, just in introducing and then tripling the price. How did that work?
Well, it just all the prices went up. The hospitals did these great renovation projects to make everything nicer. They got rid of all their big wards, and everybody had a semi-private room. And they just raised the prices. They got away with it because Medicare was paying. The private insurance was done away with by LBJ, by jawboning. About probably half the seniors in the country had a private insurance policy that they liked. And LBJ didn't even make a promise that if you like your insurance, you can keep it. The insurance companies protested, saying, we've got a contract with these people.
Mm-hmm.
We can't throw them off the plan. And LBJ said, no, you can't cancel individuals, but you can cancel all of the policies. You can do away with coverage. So these days, once you pass the age of 65, for most insurance plans, they just kick you off.
So it was one of those things where the government wanted a slush fund of money coming in and take 2 or 3% for the Medicare out of your check.
LBJ said, we want to make sure that my plan is successful. And to make sure your plan is successful, you just obliterate all the competition. How can you lose?
Hmm. So they forced people to get on Medicare back then in 1965?
Well, they canceled everything else. And so
I guess they just took it out of their check, too.
They shook it out of the check. Or if you already were retired, then, you know, you got it without even paying anything into it.
Mm-hmm.
But all these Medicare beneficiaries, they think, well, we paid for it. Well, let me just say, you did pay. But you didn't pay for your future medical care. You paid for somebody else's medical care. And when there was a surplus coming in, which there isn't anymore, you paid for aircraft carriers. You paid for graft and corruption. You paid for just anything that Congress wanted to spend your money on. They took what was coming in from the payroll tax, spent it, put an IOU in the so-called Medicare Trust Fund, and now they're having to use current tax revenues to buy back those IOUs.
Yes, our money guy taught us over the years that I think it began in LBJ's time. They began putting the dollars coming in for Social Security and Medicare, as you rightly just said, into the general revenue to make their numbers look better. There is no trust fund. There's just IOUs, as you said, non-marketable securities There's no money there. There's no trust fund, and it just comes out of the tax revenues today.
Yes, but or out of borrowing.
Oh, of course. Yeah. There's no, yeah. Deficit. Well, they're a trillion in the
Medicare
hole.
Medicare has, you know, maybe $43 trillion or maybe more. I mean, the number is essentially infinite. And unfunded liabilities, that means promises that have been made to future generations with no source of revenue envisioned. They're just going to borrow the money until suddenly nobody will lend the money anymore and their checks start bouncing. What is going to happen? It is not going to be pretty.
Huh. So out of this $3 trillion, could you, if you're on a game show, could you figure out, I mean, let's see, oh, what's the question here? The question would be here, if you had a fair price on everything that goes on in the doctor's or the hospital's venue, let's even say pharmaceuticals, fixing a hernia, doing a bypass, having a baby, whatever, you had a fair price, could you even conjecture what that number would be out of the $3 trillion if you didn't have all the sloppiness and all the people, bureaucrats and people taking money? And
you understand the question? Well, it's a guess.
Yeah, sure. I do.
Some people have looked at maybe the government books to the extent that those are reliable at all, and look at the amount of revenue that comes into the Medicare system and the amount that is spent on anything. Anything at all that resembles a good or service that goes to a patient, and maybe that's 60%, but at least 40%, probably more, just vanishes into thin air.
Wow.
And so I would think we might be spending half as much on medical goods and services if we drained the swamp. Or if you look at the prices posted by the Surgery Center of Oklahoma, which is an ambulatory surgery center in Oklahoma City, and their website is surgerycenterok.com.
Oh, yeah, we've interviewed that fellow. Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
You know,
cool.
The price there may be 1/10 of what Medicaid is paying for certain procedures. Dr. Smith, the founder, claims that he saved one guy $40,000 on his prostate surgery, and he didn't even do the surgery. The guy just took the price to his local hospital in Florida and said, you know, what kind of price can you give me? I'm going to go to Oklahoma City. And the hospital quoted him a price. It was pretty much the same plus the price of a plane ticket.
Really? Wow. There's that much fat being nibbled away in all the processes. Huge.
Well, plus, if you look at all these hospitals that are crying poor and complaining about, wait a minute, if you get rid of the Medicaid expansion, what's going to happen to us? They've got construction cranes out in front. Our Banner University Hospital has a $1 billion construction project. That is the biggest construction project in the state of Arizona. And it is really being funded a lot by Medicaid dollars. You know, the government pours in money for somebody who's enrolled, even if that person never gets anything in the way of medical care.
Yes, in Austin, I live about an hour from Austin, Doc, and you get into these areas where these hospitals are, and all you see for miles is just more buildings, you know, eye care, breast cancer center, and just over and over, and just, it's just like a huge behemoth of buildings, huge buildings.
One patient I know got paid $7,000 out of pocket, even though she had insurance, for a torn earlobe repair.
Really?
And you know, one plastic surgeon somewhere quoted $250. One of them elsewhere said, well, he'd do it for $400 or $500. It should be that much. But $7,000. They didn't do anything special. It was a, you know, simple, uncomplicated thing. But, you know, how else are they going to pay for their building?
Dr. Jane Orient is with us, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. You mentioned the IRS in some of your articles and such. How do they like this deal?
Well, the IRS more power, and like with Obamacare, they can decide whether or not you meet the criteria for insurance, and they'll charge you a penalty if you don't. Fortunately, that penalty has been zeroed out by the Trump administration and by Congress, but still, the IRS has a lot of authority to decide, like, whether you can have a health savings account, what you can use that money for. Like, if you have a direct primary care arrangement, which is saving lots of people thousands of dollars on primary care, you can't even make a contribution to your health savings account. You have to pay for all of it with after-tax dollars.
Dr. Ryan, can you explain to us exactly what, I guess it's still in force. I mean, I don't even know anymore. It's so complicated. I guess Obamacare is still technically alive.
Oh yeah, it is still alive.
It's alive. They haven't been able to kill it as yet.
No, because and probably the biggest part of it and the most destructive part is this Medicaid expansion to non-disabled, childless adults. And a lot of the states bought into that, and they have a huge infusion of federal money for these people. Who were newly eligible, and what they're doing is scrimping on care to the original beneficiaries, poor, disabled children with huge medical expenses, and instead it's going to the non-disabled adults, or it's going to the managed care plans that have them on their rolls and that pretend to take care of them.
So I didn't quite understand what you just said. Walk us through that again. What's being pushed through now?
Well, the Medicaid expansion. It increased greatly increased the Medicaid rolls, and the newly eligible people are adults who have no children, who are not disabled, and now they are being put on this program that's supposed to be for the poor, and a lot of the states are really scrimping on care to the original beneficiaries, which included a lot of disabled children or disabled adults, for the care of these people that really don't need to be taken care of at the taxpayers' expense.
These were people, Doc, that weren't on Medicare, that they just wanted in the system?
Right. They could work. They would prefer not to work. They're not on the no longer considered in the labor force. But they get preference over somebody who really can't work.
Oh, I see. So these are folks that aren't even contributing, but that somebody in their infinite wisdom thinks that they should be in the game.
This is Medicaid.
Medicaid. So what's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid?
Medicare is for over 65 or for disabled people.
Okay.
With Social Security disability, you're on Medicare, or for people with end-stage renal disease. Medicaid is a joint federal-state program supposed to be for the poor, the indigent, the people who are disabled.
Disabled?
But not eligible for Medicare. The people who supposedly just can't be taken care of by the private sector.
Or maybe somebody who's terminally unemployed, that kind of thing, on welfare, they would be given Medicaid?
They might be, It used to be they had to have children or they had to have some problem. There were much more stringent criteria for people who theoretically ought to be able to work.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a mess.
Well, it is a huge drain, and it's not just a huge drain on the budget. I mean, all the states are having to cut funds for everything else, law enforcement, education, everything, to shovel into the Medicaid program. And now 71% of that is going into managed care monoliths. Medicaid, your tax dollars are the cash cow for these hugely profitable managed care companies that they skim off a whole lot in administration. They decide what's to be paid for and what isn't. In Arizona, a lot of it goes back to fund other state agencies. A lot of it goes to the mothership elsewhere in terms of profits. It is just a hugely profitable industry for big corporations that are profiting at the expense of the poor and the taxpayer who think they're paying for medical care for the poor.
And this is called managed care companies?
Managed care companies. Now 71% of Medicaid is now administered through these companies instead of the state paying the hospital or the doctor who takes care of the patient. It pays the Health Net or United Health Group or Cigna or some other group that has a contract with the state. The state really sells the poor people to the lowest bidder, but the lowest bidder is making a huge profit.
Wow. So there's just another person being injected in to take some money off the top here.
Yeah, oh yeah, the managed care CEOs, their huge army of clerks, compliance clerks, the hospitals maybe sending inflated bills to Medicaid. It's really hard to figure out where all that money is going. But suddenly, medical care for the poor is costing a whole lot more than it did before Medicaid got enacted.
This is Patrick Timpone. Dr. Jane Orient is with us. And, it's just pretty amazing. She is executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And I think she, I'll ask her when we get back. We're going to take a quick little break here and see if there's a one website that she would recommend that you'd visit. She's written a lot of books. Pretty amazing. We know that one thing for sure, that regardless of what you eat, what you don't eat, what you do, if you go to the doctor, you don't go to a nutritionist, naturopath, or acupuncturist, whatever you do to keep yourself well, just listen to One Radio Network and turn you on to a lot of stuff you can do at home. You can do that, like the fellow who his body cured itself of colon cancer. He'll be here in 15 minutes, and he didn't do the whole medical model thing. He'll be here in about 15 minutes, as I said. You got to move your booty. It's just essential. That's just the way God figured it out. Just move your booty. One of the best ways to do it, in my opinion, not only just because we promote them, but because I've been using my Rebounder for, it's been since the early 90s. And I'm 70, almost 72 revolutions around the sun. And I don't look it. I don't feel it. I don't even believe in aging. And moving your body is, it's just huge. It's a big deal. And these little Rebounders are very nice. They absorb all the inflammation. They absorb all of the impact on your joints much better, in our opinion, than running or jogging. And because you're out there on a street or something and you have car fumes and whatever. But these are little trampolines, and we have them on sale right now. We generally sell the half-fold Rebounder from Rebound Air for $339. A very, very nice unit. We sell quite a few of them. People just go on the website and order the Rebounder, $339, delivered in the lower 48. And now we have this half-fold on sale for $299. And if you'd like to look at the different ones, you can go to reboundair.com, reboundair.com, and look at the half-fold and the ultimate. Don't want to buy them there because you'll see the prices are way more than what we sell them for. We worked out a deal with them. They do the sale price as long as we don't put it in print. They said we could work out a deal. So we're making less and they're making less, but we just like to move some during the summer here because it's a fun way to bounce around and get ready for the cooler weather. And that may come into fashion in the next 6 months, the way we're going. Anyway, the half fold now is $299 on sale, and the ultimate or the quarter fold is $339. So if you like the half fold, email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. If you like the ultimate, and you can see the picture of it on reboundair.com, they sell it for $429. You're going to be able to get it for $339. Just go order away right on the website. You'll see the sale. Picture the gal bouncing on a little red Rebounder. Just click and order $339. You'll get the ultimate quarter fold, which is it's just a better unit. It's just built stronger. I mean, half folds are great. It'll last you. They both have a lifetime warranty. But if you got the extra few bucks, go ahead and get the ultimate just by ordering on the website for $339. And for the next few weeks, we'll send you the ultimate. And you can do that right now. The sale's going on. Previously, we talked with Dr. Rulin Zhu about using Pearlseum on your teeth.
You have to experience it. Believe it.
Yeah, you do. That's what I've been saying to my listeners. I keep saying, can't even explain this. Just buy it. Just click on it. Buy some. Trust me. Just trust me. And you're going to like the way your teeth look. That's what I keep telling.
Dentists, they did an experiment on their clients, and they literally show the picture every day. You know, when they take it in a few days, their tooth literally become, like you said, like a pearl, like a pearl. And it looks so beautiful and really white and shiny. Yeah, it really works. And it's also scientifically proven by the experiment. And he literally proved it is not only good for your teeth, he also proved it's also good for your gum.
Try some of this pearl serum. I think you're going to love it. You can try it internally as well. Helps with sleep. Great way to get absorbable calcium, and also on your face. You'll see the green ad there, the beautiful green container. Get the capsules or the powder. Pearl serum. Click and order. OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Stephanie Seneff, Senior Research Team, MIT, answers a question from one of our listeners.
There are certain things that would help us to clear these things out and help the body to begin heal.
I think sulfur. I think eating a great deal of sulfur-containing foods and also soaking in Epsom salt baths, because you need to beef up your sulfur supply in order to generally be able to fight, to allow your liver to heal. So you're sort of, once your liver can heal, then you can detoxify, you know. So you really need to work on getting the liver healthy. And one of those crucial issues for that is the sulfur. Those enzymes are affected by all kinds of different toxic chemicals. And glyphosate prevents the body from disposing of those chemicals. Because of disrupting, glyphosate actually really disrupts the sulfur cycle in a big way. It interferes with sulfate transport. Of course, it doesn't allow the activation of vitamin D. And vitamin D protects you from sulfate flushing through the kidneys.
Sulfur, sulfur, sulfur. We love it. Pure organic sulfur. Three prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide. Click and order 24/7 right here, OneRadioNetwork.com. Really fun product we've been selling for about 5 years. People just keep reordering. We love it here. I put some in Doodle's water now and again. If you give it to your pets, we recommend you do two separate bowls so they know when they want it and they know when they don't. I wouldn't just do their primary water bowl with sulfur. I mean, maybe they don't need that much for pets, because we don't know. Nobody's done any research. It's not going to hurt them, but it just brings more oxygen to the cells and helps the body to get heavy metals out and a lot of cool things. And if you'd like more than 4 pounds, email me, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Jane Orient, O-R-I-E-N-T-M-D. She's the Executive Director, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Do you have a main website you send interested people to, Doc?
Yes, the website for the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons is aapsonline.org. And you can go there and find all of our newsletters, our press releases, our op-ed pieces, our journals, and you can sign up to get our free email alerts. We have a first alert network that will keep you apprised of what's going on in Congress and the regulatory scene. And I think that there's just a wealth of information for patients in understanding how to navigate our system.
Navigate this thing. So, so politically, what do you think's going on now with Obamacare? What do you think's going to happen? What's the future of Obamacare? And if you were king or queen, what would you do?
I think that it needs to be just repealed. But there are too many special interest influences in Congress. That's probably not going to happen. I think it is going to get worse and worse. What we really need is escape hatches. You need to get out of Obamacare because it is outrageously expensive, and it destroys the physician-patient relationship. It destroys your medical freedom. You really need to find an independent doctor who is working for you, not for a third party. And there's on our website, aapsonline.org, there's a patient supporter where you can find physicians who are cash friendly, who are willing to see you without the insurance company bureaucrat in the room. Mm-hmm. And we really need to hold on to our freedom.
So if you're 40 or so, even though you're putting money in, you don't have to do the whole Obamacare thing. You can just don't participate.
That's right. Now that they've removed the individual mandate, there is this, health sharing ministries are one way around this.
Yeah, we've
not have. I belong to Samaritan Ministries. I think it's a terrific idea. It's much less expensive, and I send a check each month to a family who's got a bill to pay. It's not going through some It's not going through the swamp.
Yeah, yeah. They're called Health Care Ministries?
Health Sharing Ministries.
Health Sharing Ministries. If you'd like to learn more about that, we've done a show with Dr. Michael Haley on Health Sharing Ministries. And if you just put that in our search engine on One Radio Network, we did a whole show on it. Pretty interesting idea. But big picture, I mean, I've been involved in natural stuff for about 40 years, but big picture, it almost seems like the whole concept is flawed. If you can pay so much money a month and nobody pays attention and you get to do whatever you want, right? Eat whatever you want, do whatever drugs you want, don't exercise if you want. You know what I'm saying? And then somebody's going to take care of you? I mean, isn't that basic idea flawed from day one?
Well, certainly it is. And it's just people do have less incentive to take care of themselves if they falsely believe that somebody, that medicine can repair the damage that they they do.
Right. Because they believe in the concept. Well, I could just go to the doctor and whatever. Get this.
Right. So it's just a very bad idea to turn your decisions over to somebody else.
But you understand, though, that things happen. Life is a chancy thing. People get in car wrecks, and they have weird things happen, and they don't take care of themselves. And sometimes, as much as we don't, you know, whatever, sometimes, you know, you go in for surgery, and it keeps somebody alive. So somebody's got to pay for that.
Well, yes, but, you know, with insurance, true insurance, you know, you pay according to your risk.
Okay.
With Obamacare, the insurance company is not allowed to charge you according to your risk. So, again, there's no incentive to take better care of yourself because it really doesn't matter. And that young, healthy people or people who live a healthy lifestyle are maybe paying five or six times as much as they would if their premium depended on their risk.
If they're, I see. So you think that's going to be the fairest way to do it is, but isn't that more losing privacy? They ask you what you eat and what drugs you're on, or if you drink too much coffee or booze or smoke.
Well, that's called underwriting. And yes, they do. Some of them are more intrusive than others. But Obamacare is extremely intrusive. All of this data goes through in a computer system, and you've got companies that make huge amounts of money buying your medical data and scoring you and selling it to various people that don't have your best interests at heart. So, yeah, underwriting, it used to be, you know, you could buy a catastrophic plan. You buy it when you're young and healthy. The idea is it is guaranteed renewable, and so even if you develop an illness, you don't have your premiums go up on that basis. Assuming that, you buy the insurance when you're young and healthy. You don't try to buy it when the equivalent of your house is burning down.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that is there even another plan to replace Obamacare out there?
Well, we have on our website a white paper for repealing and replacing Obamacare. I think it is a big mistake to say, give us your comprehensive plan. Look, there are some risks that are not insurable. Everything, we don't have a plan that's going to solve everybody's problems. We have a plan called Freedom, which is the optimal solution. People figure out solutions for their own problems that allows innovations to occur that we haven't even thought of. Central planning, price controls, forcible redistribution of wealth are evil. They are economically disastrous. And so we don't try to think we've got a better comprehensive plan than everybody else. We need to free people and free enterprise to develop what's best from their standpoint. And, you know, the American way is the voluntary way, which is what used to be said when opposing Medicare, and it still applies.
Yeah. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be, even if the conservative types win in November, more that there'd be enough juice to get rid of Obamacare. Is that accurate?
I hope that they will get rid of it, but I'm afraid that many of these who claim to be conservatives are really in the pocket of the big insurance companies who are making big money from the Medicaid expansion and other aspects of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. Although real insurance is really being not only outlawed, but is financially non-viable because of the mandates in Obamacare. So I don't know whether it will be repealed, but I think the Trump administration, by providing some bypasses like association health plans and short-term limited plans, do provide a way for people to get out of it. And as more and more people do get out of it, or they sign up for these direct primary care arrangements, that that Obamacare is just going to diminish.
Here's an email for you from George. He is in, I don't know where he is, but he wants to know, can the doctor explain how the pharmaceutical companies are able to raise their prices ongoing without anybody really saying much about it?
Well, part of it is, a big part of the problem that we're working on now is these pharmacy benefit managers, these PBMs, that are supposedly trying to keep prices down and get discounts. But they have things called rebates, which are really kickbacks, and they may be largely responsible for the fact that your insulin costs you $400 a month when it really should cost you $100 or maybe even $40, because they are skimming. They are skimming things out of there. They make single-source contracts, which is another reason why some very essential and basic old drugs are in short supply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Doc, this swamp is swamping up, isn't it? Just, oh, boy.
Yeah.
It really
There's so much evil and corruption. It goes much deeper than anybody imagined.
Oh, I can. Well, you've helped us paint a good picture, and I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. And again, that website, it sounds a reasonable thing for even the natural folks to look at. I've given some ideas how they can kind of navigate this if life is a chancy thing, and things come up, and sometimes you just need a doc. AAPSonline.org, is that correct?
That's right, AAPSonline.org.
Two A's, Doc, or just one?
Two.
Two, AAPS.
Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPS.
So it's just a big group of you that want to try to figure out how to straighten this thing out?
Yeah, and we're not trying to impose our views on you. We want freedom. That's what made this country the richest and most successful and freest country in the world, is freedom.
Well, we love your philosophy, Doc. Thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Dr. Jane Orient. Well, it's even more just dysfunctional than I even thought it was dysfunctional. Oh, my goodness. Okay, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I've got a little bit of a thing here trying to figure out the connection on the next guest for some reason. It's just one of those days, but so I'm going to sneak in this and we'll make it happen.
Previously with Daniel Vitalis, talking about elk velvet antler from Sir Thrival.
Elk antler or deer antler products are probably the most regenerative substance that we can find in nature, at least for mammals. A couple things that I think are really cool about it is mm-hmm. that it's got six types of collagen.
That's really
amazing. When you think about the antler of an elk or a deer, these are an organ that grow in just 3 months' time and then fall off, and the very next year they grow back. Mammals don't typically regenerate organs that fall off, but antlers from all of the cervid mammals are completely regenerated. In order for them to regenerate, they need to contain substances that cause regeneration, and that's like the 24 growth factors that we find in elk velvet antler.
Regeneration, we like that word. Growth factors, we love that word. For boys and girls, that's you. Exclusively from Sir Thrival and exquisitely produced, Daniel Vitalis, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously, Dr. Hal Huggins on detoxing mercury.
You do not have to get all the mercury out of the body. That's not what the problem is. It's the direction it's going. If you have more going out than you have coming in, then you're going to have a good chemistry. You're going to feel good. But if you have more going in to the body than going out, chemistries look bad and you feel bad.
If you had to name just a few things on the top of your list to help get mercury out, whether they be supplements or foods, Give us your top five.
Okay.
Off the top of your head.
Best thing would be the infrared sauna. The thing is, detoxification is easy. Anybody can release a lot of mercury. But if you're using a sauna, or especially the infrared sauna, then you are eliminating the mercury through the skin, and you are bypassing liver and kidney. So that's a very good way to go.
If you've been wanting to get a sauna, a little bit over your budget, well, we're going to help you out with a sale going on right now. Big summer sale, $9.95 delivered, continental U.S. summer sale on the sauna. And you can finance it with no interest through a PayPal account right now, front page, oneradionetwork.com. Well, that's kind of true. It's a great old commercial, but so it is $9.95. Sorry about the sale thing. Well, it's on. We do a sale ongoing. But just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And that's how we do it. I think that's how we do it. Isn't that how we do it? Yeah, it gets so confusing someday. Yeah, just email me. We'll give you the sale price, $9.95 for the sauna. So I'm having a little issue here. Excuse me. I could use a statin drug. Let's see. One moment. Let's see. Let me just do this, and I think it's going to work.